So what happened? Well, the affected customers brought over 75 actions across the United States. This got combined into one of these multi-district litigations, which has been going on since February. The other thing that's interesting is there were a lot of Europeans that were compromised by this attack. We just heard Tom talk about potential penalties under GDPR of 4% of your annual revenue. So I asked Tom earlier this morning, I said, what's the latest on Marriott under GDPR? Are they going after them? He said, well, nobody knows, because the Irish authorities and the German authorities and some of these member states have got, you know, 50 or 70 some odd active investigations going on, but they won't, you know, they don't have an obligation to tell you whether or not they're currently investigating you. So whether or not they will ultimately be hit under GDPR, we don't know yet. But it does kind of bring up the intersection between privacy and cybersecurity, because they're kind of, you know, two sides of the coin. I was told people, you know, you can have great cybersecurity and really lousy privacy. And I would point maybe to Facebook or someone like that that says, oh, don't worry, I technically can do anything, but I choose to sell your data to other people or share it with somebody, or I'm really not going to pay attention to that because maybe I don't care that much. I don't mean to impugn Facebook too much, but you know, just because you have a company with great security doesn't mean they'll pay any attention to privacy. You have companies that are very concerned about privacy, want to do a really good job, and have horrible cybersecurity. So obviously you need to get into that quadrant, you know, when you do your chart, of dealing with companies that have good privacy policies that are understandable, that they follow, and sufficient cybersecurity to back that privacy up. And as we talk about the California Consumer Protection Act, Canada, and all these new states coming in, you will see, I believe, cybersecurity riding along right behind the privacy, because they're going to realize, and they know, what's the point of having all this privacy legislation if it all gets stolen or hacked into anyway? So just to continue on with Marriott, what happened to them? I mean, what price did they pay? Well, their stock price fell over 5%. We don't know about GDPR penalties. They did what all big companies do when they have a breach of things like credit card information. Oh, you know, we'll have a call center. We'll tell everybody. We have many of these. We will provide a free watch service to you, which is good because you can get those for free anyway, because companies like Equifax have finally said, yeah, we'll provide that to free for anybody. And they phased out their Starwood reservation system. Now, the other lesson learned for me is on the M&A side. I'm in our IP section, but I actually sit in our corporate section because I'm kind of a hybrid, disclaimed by both groups. But in M&A transactions, how do you deal with this? Well, now, those of you that do M&A work, you see, now you get three pages of reps and warranties about privacy and data security, most of which have no application to the businesses involved whatsoever, and everybody on the management team reads them and says, I have no idea what they're even talking about here. So they should be tailored. The other thing I always try to ask clients is, if you're buying a company, what don't you want? I understand we want this, but maybe we don't want all these old records and these old servers, or at least we want someone to go in there and do a forensics check as to what they have. Because, you know, if Starwood had a lot less records, if they had culled old data, maybe not kept them online, then the impact of the breach would be a lot less. And in my view, when you're buying a company, don't buy what you don't want. Now, you know, easy to say, and I know it's very difficult when you're trying to do a stock deal and it's got to be closed next week and all of that, but at least bring it to the management's attention that that's an issue, and how are you going to address it? Well, you address it in the reps and warranties, which is fine, but most reps and warranties, you know, you have the fundamental ones, which is kind of tax and environmental, that last 4, 5, 6 years. A lot of the reps and warranties are dead in a year or 2 years. As you see, it took 4 years for the Starwood breach to even pop up. So is that going to help you? Well, maybe you want to address it with reps and warranties insurance. That's good. I mean, I've talked to the people that sell reps and warranties insurance. Absolutely. They'll cover it. They'll put it in the package. Now, if you have a cyber policy, they'll look to the cyber policy first and then turn to the reps and warranties insurance. But it's a layer of protection and one that I certainly would recommend people put in, you know, the discussion points.